Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. We call upon your name, precious one. We call Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this winter Pentecost service at the Vines. For those of you who are here this morning, hope you managed to stay warm through the service, and for those of you who are watching online, welcome to you also, and I hope you're somewhere cozy. Can we stand together and sing our journey from Easter through to Pentecost is over, and we celebrate God's presence in praise this morning.
So we'd be reconciled. He came to rise.
Lord God, we praise you and thank you for the gift of life and the gift of your presence in our lives. We praise you, Lord, that we can meet together on this winter's day, but a day full of life and abundance and the presence of your Spirit in our lives. We pray, Lord, that in our journey with you, we will always, day by day, look to you, lean on you, trust you, and your presence, the presence of your Spirit at work in us and through us, around us, over us, in every aspect of our lives. And for these things, we give you praise and thanks. Amen.
Well, good to see you all here today. Please grab a seat. I've got some really four different notices I'm going to give today, which really covers the gamut of life almost. We have a birthday in our midst. Trev, when are you turning, whenever?
But, 57.
57, yeah. This Thursday, isn't it, or somewhere?
Yeah, Thursday, yeah.
Her birthday. Anybody else having a birthday? Any other birthdays? I don't normally. How many? 83. Oh, that's it. Online. Look, I don't normally do birthdays, but I was made aware of those. So we have a birthday. We have Ian Payne was going to come and speak to us today. He rang me at 7 this morning and said, they won't let me out of hospital. So I said, thank God for technology. I'm going to ring him. So we're going to have a chat a bit later in the service. Lynn, our chairperson of the chair council, is here today, first time after major surgery. And sadly, rounding off our four notices, Minion, who many of you have known for many years, died last weekend, and her funeral is tomorrow. So we've sort of covered the whole gamut. So 2:30, Alfred James, if you are free. So,
which Alfred James, David?
Morpher Vale.
Yeah.
So, yes. Are there any other notices I need to give?
Yeah, Leon's got one.
Leon, I see that hand. Thank you.
Barbecue for food parcels, supporting schools and their breakfast clubs, and we support 5 schools. Well, they donated last year $1,000 to us. I was surprised last week to see that they sent us an email and they've donated another $1,000 to us just to continue our pastoral work. So just an acknowledgement of, and that's Brighton Lions Club. Thank you.
And as someone reminded me, Keith Beam's birthday this week as well. So happy birthday to you all. Now, kids, down the front, please. So great expense to the Vine budget. I'm not sure how the treasurer's going to cope with this, but we've actually flown a special little friend all the way down from Queensland. Remember how we were talking about Eddie? You remember Eddie? Eddie the echidna. Well, I said, hey, look, I was so excited about the whole thing that I sent him an email and I got onto his manager and his manager had a conversation with me and said, yeah, he'd love to come down. So put your hands together for Eddie. So, Eddie, good to see you. Oh, I think he's been a bit shy. Oh, I forgot he's a kid and they got spikes. Are you feeling a bit shy, Eddie? Eddie? Oh, maybe there's a magic word we could use. What's the most special word that gets you motivated? I thought of chocolate. Chocolate? No. What do you think? Please? No. Ants. Don't be shy, Eddie. Everybody loves you. Look at them all. Hey, mate, do you need a hand? Oh, that's better. Oh, thank you. Oh, that was a magic word. Hey, mate, do you need a hand? We were very frightened for you. We saw the video. We saw how you were plucked. You know, you had this big shadow come over you. And it was like, picked you. Oh, damn, I forgot. Prickly spikes. Picked you up. Can't go too high. He picked you up in the sky. And you were flying and you fell. Were you scared? Yes. It's very scary. Poor little Eddie, look. So, I think I stand shrinking in. Eddie, tell us, please, what it was like. What did you feel? Were you excited when you were rescued?
I was so happy. It was like eating a mouthful of grubs.
Oh, well, that's good. I think he was waiting for me to reply. That's good. So, what's been the benefit of you being rescued and helped?
Well, I just felt so loved. And wherever I go now, I ask, hey, mate, do you need a hand?
Well, that's a good thing to do, isn't it? Someone helped him out, and he helped someone else. Isn't that what it's all about, people? Yes?
Yes. Good.
Well, my apologies to all puppeteers. That's the world's worst puppet. Eddie, hey, it's been great to see you, mate. Any last comments?
Yes. Have you got any ants, David?
Ants? I know someone who... Leon, put your hand up.
Oh, no.
I know you've got some ants you want to get rid of. I think Leon... Go, we'll talk to Leon. We'll go and talk to Leon later. I'm sure he will... Put your hands together for Eddie. Okay. Up. Okay, kids, you've got some Sunday school happening. Get cracking. So, it's Pentecost today. Good to see you all wearing red, people. This is my red Pentecost stole, and I can now say I'm wearing red. And I hope you all survived the wintry effects. I got up at 1:45 this morning to check my drains. The back lawn was awash, and somehow I opened up my gate to check the drain out the front, and the dog got out. This morning, I opened the door and there's this wet, muttly mutt sitting on my front doorstep. So I put the gas heater on and said, come inside. Yeah, had a big night. Thanks.
Okay. You can't sing this next song sitting down. I hope you know. God sends us his spirit. This is our offering song, so it's a good song to stand up for. Rob. You can clap if you like. It's allowed.
God sends us the Spirit to befriend and help us, recreate and guide us. Spirit who enlivens, sanctifies and lives.
Father, we thank you that you are a giving God, and above all, Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Spirit in our lives. We bring this offering to you this morning, Lord, and pray that you would grant us wisdom to know how to use our resources as best as possible in accordance with what you want to do in our midst. So we commit all our finances to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please take your seats.
Reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 8 and 12 to 21. The coming of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these we are speaking with Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language?" All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." Peter addresses the crowd. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Let me just get the technology issues out of the way early. It's one time I've ever used the phone in church. Hey, mate, look, I'm just going to give you a bit of an introduction, so I'll get you back online and on speaking in about 5 minutes, okay? Okay, so I just got you tuned in. All right, good. So we have Ian online, which is good. Part of what I want to do is just give us a little bit of shape for today and his sharing. Now, Pentecost, 50 days between Easter and the Pentecost, which we're celebrating. 50 days space. And so 50 days, I guess for many of us in South Australia, you know, when we had the lockdown for 50 days, I heard a number of people say, "Man, it was a wonderful vacation, a great holiday. I wish I should have done this earlier in life." For those online, maybe living in Victoria or somewhere else, you know, the lockdown were just a grinding experience. They just took away people's sense of who they were and what they were doing. And so when the Holy Spirit arrived at Pentecost, it just transformed everything. Their lives were different. It was like, oh, freedom, amazing, exciting. And sometimes we tend to gloss over that, don't we? We just look back 2,000 years and think, well, Pentecost was fantastic, the disciples were so lucky, la, 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 la. But for 50 days, those disciples had no idea what the future was going to be like. You know how I was talking about, you know, sometimes it feels like we get to the edge of the known map. You know, where we get to the border and there's nothing more else in front of us. And when we think of the disciples who were all together in that place for 50 days, uncertain of what was happening, they had a lot of issues to deal with. Like Peter, you know, the one who got up and said this great speech. You know, for 50 days, he had to live with the fact that what he thought he was going to be like as a disciple was nothing like the case. You see, before Jesus died, he said to him, on the second slide particularly, that he would never, ever, ever, ever betray Jesus. Now, have you ever said something like that? I will never, ever, ever. As soon as you hear yourself saying ever, warning. Peter said, unlike all your other useless disciples who've got no faith, I will never betray you.
Deny you.
Thank you very much. The Spirit's working well today. Peter said, man, I do not know what you're talking about. At that moment, while he was speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Truth was that Peter had failed Jesus. And every morning, roosters are the same today as they were 2,000 years ago. 6 o'clock every morning, the rooster would crow and Peter would remember what? His successes? How well he did? His failures. Every morning for 50 days. This next little slide, you know, we talked about this before. I love this slide because we have this idea that our lives should be smooth sailing. But the reality, it's not. Our lives are complex messes. And we get full of hard questions and confronted with lots of difficulties. And a couple of weeks ago, Ian came up to me and said, David, I would love to talk. Well, I'm not sure he said love, but he said, look, I want to do this stuff. I want to come to the church and I want to talk to them about my journey and what's going on for me. So, Ian, we have now have you on. Let's have a bit of a sound check.
Can you hear me?
Can we hear him? All right, let me just get the... I'll stick the... Okay, I can hear you. Try that again.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. There you go. We have sound. Houston, we have a liftoff.
Good morning, church. Good morning, those watching on live stream as well.
And look, you know, I think one of the realities of life is that, you know, when we're starting out in life, we have all these different ideas about what life's going to be like. And the older we get, we look back and reflect on things and think, wow, that didn't quite go to plan. And yet here still I am. So what were some, recognizing you've probably got 45 pages you'd like to read out to us, maybe we'll just, I'll just do an interview. So what's one of the things that really drove you to want to talk to us today?
Well, there's a couple of things. Like when you go through some dramas or major events in life, you say, why on earth did this happen to me? What did I deserve this? You know, why did I deserve this? But then you get over that because you can't control what happens. And one thing that has worried, I think about regularly from time to time is two questions. One, why were you put on earth at this point in time? And what's the purpose in life? And all I could come up with for that was basically try and give your kids a good moral upbringing and to make life's journey easier for somebody else.
Yeah. And you've had a few dramas with your health, haven't you, the last 10 weeks? It's been, or the last 50 days, you mentioned. You found out you've had some health dramas. And
yeah. But it's not just that. Like, in my life, I've been sacked twice. And each time, you know, you say, why on earth is this happening to me again? And in both circumstances, you didn't know it at the time, but they were the best things that ever happened to you.
I remember talking to you and saying that after getting sacked from one job, you and Jen managed to tour around the world in a way you never could have when you were working for another company, which was rather amazing.
Yeah, basically I was given the boot on the age discrimination clause in the partnership agreement, which meant I had to retire at 60 instead of 65, which is what I wanted to do. But I managed to get a job with a firm associated with where I was working, called BDO International. And there's a group of 15 people around the world, all different countries, and they did quality control reviews of audit files. So I travelled to places in the world I would never have seen, and sometimes Jen came with me, and they were the best times of our lives.
And, you know, when we were talking before, you said that, you know, certainly there are some seven key areas. In fact, you had about 12. We whittled it down to seven, didn't we?
Yes, we did. Yeah.
I've got your Ian's top seven takeaways. And I'm not sure if you've got your paper with you, but... Well, would you like to read out the top seven that you've picked out?
Okay. And these are really not just for... it's really for when there's major... You need a major rethink or you're a major drama in your life to help... It's helped me, and I'm hoping that they'll actually help someone in church or more people in church that it might resonate, at least one or two of them, can help them in their day-to-day life, whether you're going through drama or not. Some of them are still relevant every day. And so take that in context if you can.
Now, I've trimmed down your sentences, so just read them out and I think we'll get the sense.
They should be pretty much the same, yeah, but just less words on the screen. First thing is you're not on your own. Don't take on burdens by yourself. Share your feelings with others and give them the opportunity to help you. Just because you feel you can't deal with this yourself doesn't mean you're a failure.
Yep. Number two.
Second one was, just remember to make the things you're thankful for and remind yourself of them every day. And this one is from a wise woman, my mother.
Yeah, they're wonderful.
Not long before she died, she said to me, what you do today is important. Because you're spending a day of your life doing it. Don't waste it. So the philosophy I sort of live by now, and this is the next two, do something for yourself every day and try to do something to help someone else, no matter how small it may be. It'll help you feel good and strengthen your bonds and friendships and should help somebody else. Next one?
Yeah.
When times are tough, you need to get back to what's really important in life. No use dwelling on what's gone wrong. You can't change the past. Look forward. Like you asked?
Yeah.
You cannot get out of any downward spiral by dwelling on what's gone wrong. You need to be thankful for what you've achieved and the things that give you joy.
Yeah, look, it's really... powerful points. I'm just going to ask people to turn to the person next to you. What one of those seven do you connect with? And invite you. So they're just going to do a bit of chatting. You got 20 seconds, people. You know how terrible I am at keeping time. So go. Talk to someone. 20 seconds. Yes, wave or indicate a number. All right, let's bring it in. Okay, everybody, let's bring it in. It's a powerful exercise to tell our story. And it's even more powerful to be able to sit down and say, well, what is it that makes me tick? What are those key points in my life? And, you know, like, I think what I found interesting about the journey with the Apostle Peter, you know, in the end, all these things went wrong. And yet, despite all the stuff that happened, he was able to acclaim or affirm a really significant truth in his life. And when I was talking to Ian, the last line on his page, on the next slide, is almost a juxtaposition to the first two questions he asked. So the first two questions he asked, why was I put on earth? What is God's plan for me, my purpose in life? And Ian, do you want to read out that last line that you managed to affirm out of all that sort of being sacked and all the different dramas that happened and some of the stuff you're facing today?
Okay. Yeah, it boils down to this for me. God's good. He's faithful, and the power of prayer knows no bounds.
Amen. Look, let's just pause and offer a prayer. Let's pray. And mate, we're just going to pray for you. So you're still on speakerphone.
Yeah, thanks.
Lord Jesus, we remember Pentecost Sunday. We remember the Holy Spirit coming into the world and changing the world and reinvigorating people and still doing that. Lord, we ask a special blessing on Ian and his family, those who love him so dearly. We ask that your Spirit would continue to move in him and strengthen him and give him your peace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the people said,
Amen.
Amen.
All right, mate, I'll give you a bit of a ring later just to see how you're going. But any final last words before I...
One thing. Thanks for the opportunity today, and it's perfect that it's communion as well.
Yeah. And I almost expected to see you here absent without leave from the hospital, but I'm glad you didn't.
I've been trying for days to make that happen, and up until 8 o'clock this morning... all the doctors and everything said, okay. And then the head nurse came in and said, sorry, there's a hospital protocol which says we can't let you back in if you go out for 14 days, which means my treatment would have to be delayed another 14 days. So that's why I'm not there. Otherwise, I'm all dressed up with nowhere to go.
Thanks, mate.
Have a good day, everybody.
Ciao. Yeah. See you. Ian was real committed. You can tell that, can't you? He rang me early this morning. He just wanted so much to share some of those things that hopefully he hopes are a blessing to you in whatever part of your journey you are in life. And I think for me, you know, the slide 8, I'm not sure what I've got for that slide. I can't remember. It's our next slide, but it's like, the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. And I think that is what we continue to open ourselves up to. It's what we continue to remind ourselves of as we step into the unknown. And for all of us, it's the world's different than it was. For all of us, we're at the edge of that unknown map. For all of us, there are things we can still say even though everything else has changed. And that's the important thing of being a person of faith. Even if your faith is that big or this big, there is something we can say because we still have the power to choose. We still have the power to affirm what we believe. As we continue our time together, I really love what Peter ended up saying. In verse 21, Peter said, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Really, what he was saying was, even those who denied Jesus, even me, Peter, are still saved. And that in the end is our affirmation and hope that God's love is greater than any of us can comprehend or deserve. That's what keeps me ticking. That's what keeps Ian ticking. That's what keeps Peter ticking. That's what keeps Lydia in a nice purple cloth ticking. Let's pray as we prepare ourselves for communion. We're going to have a song that will lead us in, and it's very appropriate that the rain is coming down that we sing this next song. Thanks.
Spirit rain down, rain down, oh Comforter and Friend, how we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain down. Holy
As we've travelled a fair way to get here today and prepare ourselves for communion, and we bring a lot of stuff with us to worship on a Sunday, and communion is a really wonderful opportunity to leave it at the foot of the cross. And Varel has done a wonderful job with the Pentecost thread and the Holy Spirit dove, and so. Under the supervision of Varel, Rob has done a wonderful job. Thank you, Rob. But it's like, again, it's an opportunity. One of the things I love about gathering together, it gives you a chance for a fresh start. Not many organizations in our world we live in come along once a week and give themselves a fresh start. Really. So, you have an opportunity today. So, we gather and we receive the words that Paul, and we've been hearing the story of Paul and all the mistakes he made and all the learning he went through, and yet he still could confirm something significant. Paul said, "For I received from the Lord what I am passing on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, broke bread, and having given thanks, blessed it, and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup with its rich red wine, rich red color, and said, "This wine is like my blood shed for you. Do this in the remembrance of me. And every time you gather together, there you recall my presence with you." So that's what we're doing. You're here for a whole variety of different reasons. But God is present through the Spirit to connect and to bring hope and healing to your lives. I like to get you to do a bit of work. Liturgy is actually called the work of the people. So it's good to get you to do some work too. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Here and now God waits
to fill our lives with His Spirit of love, to immerse us in figures and new life,
to help us see the world and others
through the eyes of love, to bring hope to each other and those we connect with on the way. Use us, Lord, to reach out to be Christ in a world that is in chaos. In Jesus' name.
So a lot of things have been happening in our world, as we know, and from the mass shootings in America, again still, to the conflict in Ukraine, to poverty in Africa, it's an endless list. So I'm going to invite you to pause, and I'm using a prayer from Thom Schumann, and it's really entitled, "How Shall We Pray in Such Moments?" And then we'll gather together and share the Lord's Prayer. So let me lead you in prayer. God, whose heart is as shattered as ours, please do it once again. Out of the chaos which swirls around us, create those living waters into which we may pour our tears, watching them mingle to become pools of gentleness and love from which we may drink to make it through the coming hours and days. Send the sun to light the way out of the shadows of stunned grief, anger, and loss. How shall we pray in such moments? Word, who is as speechless as we are in these moments, offer us that simple prayer which sustained you and so many who have gone before us. Do not be afraid. As difficult as it may be for you to continue to utter and for us to hear and believe, whisper to us that hate will not win, that fear will not control us, that death's power is but an illusion. How shall we pray at such moments? Spirit, whose breath has been knocked out of you by this punch to your soul, as well as to all of us, the invitation is to breathe. Breathe peace into our fractured hopes, into the homes in Texas, in Ukraine, in our local homes and families, in the hospitals and places we know. So many places, we ask that you breathe peace. Breathe hope into all who wonder, how can we continue to go on seeking to find another way. Breathe compassion into all those hearts hardened by indifference to such horrors. How shall we pray in such moments? God, in community, holy in one, continue to create, continue to speak, continue to breathe for us, on us, through us, for us, until we can do it for others. In Jesus' name. And the people said, Amen. What we do is we set aside these simple elements. And as we pray, let's pray the Lord's Prayer as well. So let's pray this together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us.
Save us in the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
As I said, we set aside these simple earthly elements, and we ask that the Holy Spirit really bless these as we spend time digesting, reflecting, chewing, drinking the earthly things, but then have a spiritual connection. When I was going through college, one of the most confronting times I had for communion was when they were talking about the body of Christ. This is my body broken for you. And the question came to my mind, well, David, are you willing to have your body broken for me? This is before I was about to go to India. And it's a powerful question. And maybe it's a question you've thought of. Maybe it's your life circumstances have confronted you with it. I don't know. But as we pause and we eat, we remember that we share in Christ's suffering, but we also share in the love, peace, and grace. So, we're going to prepare ourselves for communion. I ask those who are serving to come forward as we remember. Friends, let's remember, let's eat and remember. Friends, let's continue to think of all the words and images we've had today as we remember. Let us drink and remember the love of Christ. Let me share a prayer as we come to almost to the conclusion of our time together today. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love that we often retell and hear so often. We thank you for the words Ian shared with us today, for those things that were real affirmations of his faith despite the struggles and challenges he has. Lord, as we continue to offer our lives to you, we ask that you would fill us with your Spirit as we go out into this week so that we may be your hands and feet and smile. In Jesus' name, amen. This should be something we can share together, I think. I like the way that prayer finished. It was really quite a beautiful conclusion. So let's say this together. God in community, holy in one, continue to create, continue to speak, continue to breathe for us, on us, through us, for us, until we can do it for others. Amen. Thank you, David.
As we sing this last song, it's called My First Love. I'll just put the question to you. Do you remember the first time you fell in love with Jesus? Or the first time you had an experience of the Holy Spirit that blew your socks off? As we sing, maybe recall those occasions to mind and realize that the Spirit of God is as present to you now as the Spirit of God has ever been present to you.
Please stand.
Child, I will dance in your presence. first day I met you, and I don't ever want to lose that fire. My first love, my first love, my first love.
Let me send you out. A reminder that next week is Trinity Sunday, and Rob's going to be preaching next week. That'll be great. These are the words I love from 1 Peter 3. When we had no name and no faith and no future, you called us your children. When we lost our way or turned away, you did not abandon us. When we came back to you, your arms opened wide in welcome. Go in peace to serve the Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Like a child, I will dance in your presence. Oh, let the joy of heaven pour down on me. Still remember the first day I met you, and I don't ever want to lose that fire. My first.